let's just bow our heads in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we come before you tonight. We're thankful for this opportunity to be here. We ask, Lord, for you to guide us now through this thought that you place in our hearts, Lord, that would be give us a solemn thought, and Lord, in the end, be of encouragement to us. I pray, Lord, your blessings on the people. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. While you're standing, if you could turn with me in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11. I want to read, starting from verse 35. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with a sword, they wandered about in sheepskin and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented. Maybe you see. I just, reading this, was thinking on what these people went through. And it, the things that I thought about the apostles of Christ and the things that they suffered after Christ's death. And it's just, one word would be, it's appalling the things that happened to them. But they stood fast in their faith. And I thought about Stephen. Stephen was one of the first actually to be martyred. And Stephen got in a dispute with five principal persons from the Jewish synagogue. And he was so sound in his doctrine and in the strength of his arguments that overcame them all. And by this, that's what enraged them. And they then went and hired false witnesses to say that Stephen had blasphemed God and blasphemed Moses. And that's why Stephen was brought before the council. And you can read about it, I believe it's in Acts 7 chapter, where Peter begins to expound to them, or not Peter, but Stephen. And Stephen was a great preacher, as well as being a deacon of the church. He was a great preacher. And he began to expound to them the things concerning, he went back in the scriptures and walked them right on up through to present day. And actually indicted them for the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, pronounced judgment on them. And then they drug him from the city. And when they did, he saw a vision. And in the vision, he said that he saw Christ standing at the right hand of God. And when he said this, that so enraged them that they stoned him. And the thing about it was that after Stephen was stoned, It not only enraged them to these people to a place where they stoned Stephen, but it actually caused a greater persecution against the church. And there was 2,000 Christians that were put to death after the death of Stephen, within just a matter of a few years. And other Christians that weren't put to death end up having to flee the country to not be put to death. Then there's Philip. And of course you know the stories about Philip. He was the one that God translated down to speak to the eunuch when the eunuch was there, and he says, "Understand what you read?" And he says, "How can I, lest some man teach me?" And Philip taught him and baptized him. Well, Philip went about preaching as well. And there was many places that he went, but there was one particular place where he went where they worshiped a huge serpent. A live serpent, not an image. A live serpent that was really, they said the size of it was just really big. And he converted many of these worshipers to so much to where the worshipers that were converted killed the snake. Well, this enraged the others that worshiped this snake. And they were enraged at Philip. And so they committed him to prison. And afterwards they scourged him, which means, scourging means to flog or to whip. And it's flogging is a little more than whipping. Whipping could be just with a whip. Flogging was usually with an instrument that was somewhat like a whip, but had more than just one strip of leather or whatever. They flogged him, then they crucified him. And, you know, never did he entertain a thought of being rescued or delivered by saying, "Well, I recant everything I said." They stood firm. They stood fast on what they believed. Then, of course, there's St. Matthew. Matthew, you all know, he was a tax collector. And he was by the Sea of Galilee and collected taxes. And Jesus came by, and Jesus gave him invitation to come and follow him. Matthew left everything to follow Jesus. He wrote his gospel in Hebrew for the believers to be able to read. It was later translated into Greek by St. James. They call him St. James the Less, which he was, we'll mention about him in a little bit, but Matthew went to several different places to preach, but one of the places he went was Ethiopia, and he established a church there. And then after he established a church there, he left and went on some more travels and then returned to Ethiopia. Well, the church that he established caused great disruption there in Ethiopia. And of course, to them, Matthew was the blame, because he started the church. And so he was slain by what they call a halberd, which is, you've probably seen them in movies from the time era of Rome and so forth. It was a spear that also had a battle axe on it. So it was a long spear with a spearhead on the top of it and had a battle axe also on it. And that's what he was slain with. Peter converted Mark. Mark was one of Peter's converts. And Mark traveled with Peter and was a great companion to Peter because of Peter converting him. And you know that Peter was unlearned. So Peter didn't have much education. So you think about, well, then how did the book of Peter, how were they wrote? They were wrote by St. Mark. He took dictation from Peter. He was encouraged by the people, the converts, to write the things that Peter preached and said. And so he wrote the books, the book of Mark, and he wrote the books of Peter from taking dictation, sort of like from Peter, what Peter said and preached. He went to Libya, and he went to Egypt, and he enraged the Egyptians with his preaching. And they took and they tied his feet together, and they dragged him through the streets and till he was bruised and cut and torn, mangled, and then they threw his body into prison, where he died from the dragging, the wounds and so forth that he had got. The next day, they took his body and burned it. Again, someone that would not say deny Christ, or, you know, and I think about these great things that they faced, where they come face to face with death. Do you believe you die? You know, there were many that were asked if other Christians that were killed that are not named, except in number, that were asked to recant and take back the belief or denounce the belief of Christ. There is one story of them taking quite a number of Christians, and they took them to a lake that was froze over, and they stripped them of their clothes and marched them out onto this frozen lake and made them stand out there in the bitter cold. And they stood there, and they called their number, which I cannot remember their number right now, but they called their number of how many they was. And they would say something like 44 Christians for Jesus, 44 Christians for Jesus. And they, one by one, would succumb to the cold. And when they would, then they'd fall and their voice wouldn't be heard. They'd die right there. And so the number would decrease, 34 Christians for Jesus, you know. And it kept going down till one of the guards that was there got so inspired that he stripped off his armor, stripped off his clothing, and marched out onto the frozen lake. to increase their number by one. You think about that. What they went through, what they endured. But look what happened out of it. You would ask, was what they went through and suffered and died, was it worth it? If you was to ask that one guard that was converted, he would tell you it was worth it for me because I got saved. St. James the Great. He was a brother to John. Him and his brother John were fishermen. They were the sons of Zebedee. And their father fished with him. They were the ones where Jesus came walking by when they were fishing after he had spoke to Peter and Andrew. He spoke to James and John and called them and said, come follow me. And they dropped their nets and fishing, left their father, and followed Jesus. And Jesus was thought so highly of them that he called them the sons of thunder because of their zeal and their vigorous minds and zealous spirits. And Herod determined that he wanted to kill James. And he brought James up and they hired an accuser. Someone to give false witness against him. And so as James stood there and began to speak, that what he had to say struck such great admiration to this false accuser that the false accuser recanted what he said and was converted and claimed right there and then that he was converted, that he followed what James said. He believed it. Well, guess what? He got beheaded right along with James. They used the same sword to behead both of them. But you think about it. Here's an individual hired to give false witness. But the stance that James had and the way he spoke, and there you realize there had to have been a seed there. There had to have been something in this person that although that he, in the state that he was in as a sinner, had took, excuse me, hire to bring false a lie. But there was something that struck inside him, which when it did, it came to life. And he's recanted what he said, then it's false, and was converted. Whew. You know where they are today. You think this one that was converted by James right before his death, how grateful he would be for the strong stance that James would take right in the face of death that would inspire him. Then there was They distinguished him by calling him James the Great, the Greater, which I told you he was brother of John, the son of Zebedee. Then there was James, and they called him James the Less when they were writing about him. He was the son of Joseph, you know, that was married to Mary, the mother of Jesus. And so by that, in a natural sense, was related to Jesus, being a brother to Jesus. And he, Paul had, at this time, they had been seeking to kill Paul, the Jews. But you remember, Paul appealed to his Roman citizenship so that they would send him to Rome. So by this, the Jews felt that Paul had escaped them. So they determined they would go after the next best thing they could get, which was James. And they were determined then to kill him. And he, at the time, James was 94 years old. 94 years old. And still preaching. Still causing a stir amongst the unbelievers, the agents of Satan. Where they took and they beat him. And they beat him and they beat him and they beat him and then they stoned him. And then after they stoned him, they took a club which was used by a fuller. You know what a fuller was? It was where they washed garments that were white and they would beat them. To get them clean. So they took this club of a fuller and they bashed James's brains out. They beat his head until it just bust open. That's what I said. In one sense, the word you would use would be, is appalling what they went through, what was done to them. And I'll tell you something, friends. Don't ever think that if Satan could, he wouldn't do it to you. He would. But at this time, there's a different type of battle being fought. I'll get into that, and you're very aware of it, but I'll get into it more later on as we go in this study. We're fighting a warfare as well. Just a different warfare than what they were fighting. With them, one of the things you could say is they knew who their enemy was. It was evident who was against them. Sometimes with us, we know the devil's our enemy, but sometimes it's hard to recognize every agent of the devil that is out to destroy you. And you know that Jesus said in the Bible that he said it's wrote that thou shalt not kill. But he said, I say unto you, if you're angry with your brother. And then Brother Branham comes in this age and he says, if you go out and kill a man's influence by saying false things against him to kill his influence with people, he said, you're in God's eyes the same as a murderer. So it's on a different level that these things happen in a different way, but we're still in a warfare. Matthias, you remember, was the apostle that was elected after the death of Judas. He was elected to replace Judas. There's really not much wrote of anything really he done. But he was martyred for his faith. He was first stoned, and then that didn't kill him, so they beheaded him. But even though it wasn't much wrote about whatever he had done or any accomplishments he made, but he was still martyred for his faith in Christ. Just taking a stand and saying, I believe. And I tell you what, today, friends, you don't have to be a preacher to be hated. You don't have to be a psalm leader or a deacon or a musician or whatever to be hated. You can just be a believer and say, I believe, and be hated. And that's the way it was with Matthias. He was just a believer. Now, you know, Andrew was the brother of Peter. And he preached the gospel throughout Asia. And he preached about the crucifixion, the glory of the cross, and the glory of what came from the crucifixion of Jesus, what it meant to people, what it meant to for salvation. And so when his accusers come, they determined that since what he preached was about the crucifixion, and the cross, that's how they were going to kill him. They were going to crucify him. But instead of nailing him to the cross, they tied him to it. The reason being was there wouldn't be any blood loss. So it would take longer for him to die. So he hung there 2 days. Now, you know, if you know about crucifixion, what it is, I know some years ago I spoke on it and went into depth and detail about what crucifixion, what it actually was. But what it did was it slowly suffocated the person, because they would have to try to push with their legs to keep their diaphragm extended so they could breathe. But their weight itself and gravity and losing strength would cause them to sag, which would crunch their diaphragm, which would slowly suffocate them. So it took him 2 days. But you know what that Andrew did during those 2 days that he was tied to the cross? He preached. And converted people while he was tied to the cross. You think about it. I mean, here he has an opportunity, actually, to try to beg for mercy, to try to say something to get them to cut him down. But he doesn't. Instead, he uses it to preach to whoever's there watching. And believe me, friends, he knew what crucifixion was. He knew what it would cause and how the death would be. Just like that you could understand by me telling you what it's about. Or you thinking about, for instance, you've never drowned, but you know what drowning is. And you could imagine in your mind drowning. Well, he could imagine his mind suffocating. Know what it was going to do, and then when he got up there, then it's for real. As I said, he was the brother of Peter. Peter we know was the most outspoken one of the group. He was also, we know, he didn't have much education. But Peter was a great preacher. And they went to put him to death one time, and I believe it was, I can't remember the name of the person right now that was going to put him to death, but they were going to put him to death. They throwed him in prison. And you know of this by what the Bible in the book of Acts tells you, that an angel came and loosed his bonds and opened the gates. And Peter followed this light, which was an angel. And remember, there were believers praying in the house for Peter's deliverance. And Peter goes there and knocks on the door. And a young damsel goes to see who is at the door. She sees it's Peter. She becomes so excited, she doesn't even let him in. But she turns around to tell the rest of them it's Peter. And at first, they didn't believe her. Which is, you know, that's just, it's really something to me, because they were there praying that God would deliver him. And they had to be believing, having faith, but it happened in such a way that they weren't expecting. See, that's the thing. They were expecting something else, for him to be released in a more natural way, you know. But for an angel to come and him just lead him out at night, they didn't let prisoners go at night. So this was strange. But Peter escaped because of this. And Peter was later caught and punished and flogged, as I told you about scourging a little while earlier. Peter met up with Paul, and they were thrown in prison together. This you might not have known, but Peter and Paul were thrown in prison together. And while they were, they converted two of the captains of the guard and 47 other people to Christianity while they were in prison. And Peter was in prison. Paul was let go, not released, but Paul went on. It wasn't his time yet. But Peter was held in there 9 months in prison. You think about it. I mean, today you think about somebody going to prison, you think about, well, they went to prison because they broke the law. But this was people going to prison because of their faith, because of what they believed, because of what they said. And he was kept 9 months, and then they brought him forth to execute him. And of course, you know they were going to crucify him. And Peter told them, I'm not worthy to be crucified like my Lord. And so at his own request, they crucified him upside down. And which, I don't know if that would have took longer to die or not, or how that would have affected, but he was crucified upside down. And crucifixion was that you hung there until you died. Now, Jesus' death came quick. Because there was prophecy to be fulfilled with his crucifixion. There wasn't supposed to be any bones broke. And so that was another thing they would do to try to speed it up a little bit. You know, they would go and break their legs so they couldn't push up any longer. So they would suffocate quicker. And, you know, the Bible, the prophecy said none of his bones would be broke. And when Moses was instructed by God to observe the Passover while they were in Goshen, one of the instructions was for the lamb that was slain, no bones were to be broke. And so Christ, you got to realize, it wasn't just succumbing to crucifixion, but that God placed all the sins of the world on him. And here, Jesus, being the embodiment of God, but then God leaves him because God can't die. So he leaves the man. And there's the man, Jesus. And he calls out while he's on the cross, "Why have you forsaken me?" A man couldn't take it. He dies rather quickly. But with Peter, his death would have took much longer. Now, Paul, we know, times are getting to me. Oh my. We've really passed some time here. I don't know what time you called me out. Paul, you know, we know, I think of all of the apostles, we probably know the most about Paul. Because there was quite a bit wrote about Paul in the book of Acts. And then Paul wrote a vast majority of the New Testament. And so, you know, and Paul admits to things in his letters of what he, how he was guilty of persecuting the church and so on. And we know that he was there at the death of Stephen, the first, they consider to be the first martyr after Christ's death. And Paul, being converted, it was a miracle. When you think about it, that Paul's conversion was an utter miracle. Because he within himself was so set at persecuting the Christians. And it's always astounding to me to see that God would call such a person. And, you know, you get to thinking about yourself sometimes. And, of course, the devil's always there to kind of help you. You know, tell you how bad of an individual you were. How bad of a fellow you are. And when, you know, somebody is, salvation is being offered and the call of God's going out to them and They know just how bad of a sinner they've been. But then you think about all that Paul done. And then Paul, of course, talks and preaches about grace. To know the grace of God to the depth that Paul did. That God would have grace on him. Pardon me, I'm sorry. You guys forgive me. I've been having this hacking and coughing and things going on. That's why I haven't preached the last few services. And I've got a feeling a little better, but it just seems like I can't kick this thing. It keeps hanging on. And I'm hoping my immunities get built up to where I won't have to suffer through this again this winter, this year, before the weather turns, you know. But we know that Paul was taken prisoner, and we know that he told about his citizenship to Rome and appealed to Rome that they would send him and try him before Caesar. Paul was kept in prison for, I believe it was about 2 years in Rome. And while he was there, he wrote many of the letters that we read and teach from. And so then there come a time, though, that the emperor was going to put Paul to death. And they were going to put him to death by beheading him. And there is a story that's wrote concerning this. And perhaps maybe you've heard me mention it at a time before, talking about Paul. But there was a story wrote concerning the beheading of Paul, that when they had two guards taking him to be beheaded, and on the way, there was a woman that stopped and asked them to give this handkerchief, scarf, to Paul. To wrap his head in it. And she was missing one eye. And Paul, when they took him to behead him, he told them to take the handkerchief back to the woman after they behead him. I know this sounds strange, but you think about what you don't know is that these two guards were actually seen. And so they were instructed by the emperor that after Paul was beheaded, they were to put his head in a basket and they were to bring it back and present it before the emperor. Well, on their way back to do this, they come back across this old woman and went to do as Paul instructed and give back the handkerchief. When they did, her eye appeared. And she was healed. An eye. Where there was no eye, where there was just a socket, an eye there. And it so inspired the two guards that were taking his head back that they determined they weren't going to take his head back and were converted. Right there by this act, they were converted. And so the head never got back to the emperor. They decided, we're not taking it back. Same emperor His sister-in-law was converted. He throwed her in prison. So his wife would go down to the prison to visit her sister. And in going down to the prison to visit her sister, she was converted. Oh my. Like I said, I know that these things about them being put to death are appalling in a way, but there is some parts of the stories of history of it that are quite inspiring. Jude, we know he wrote the one book in the Bible, which, as we say, only has one chapter. But it's what he wrote was quite outstanding. And Jude was crucified for his faith. Oh my, I've got so many, I'm going to have to stop. So they come to the instruments of the stand. I just looking to see how much more that I have. And being on a Thursday night, I don't like to hold you too late, too long. I know you're tired. Many of you work today. You got work tomorrow. And so I've sat in your seat. So I like to be understanding and in that way. So let's pray.